sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her. I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Great!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. TGIF. Happy Friday to everyone out there. Wish people could see us, Taylor. We look like we planned this today. We're matching.
Wearing my jacket I got in Florida.
I think it's called a bomber jacket.
Is it a real? I don't.
It's
like a fabric bomber jacket.
We look like twins. We both walked in. It was like the Spider-Man meme. So who is that man? I wanted to start today with, it's not the most important news story of the day, but it means something to us here because Taylor and I are very seldom on the same side of something. We like to fight each other, argue, go back and forth. And there was a story this week that we both kind of had the same conclusion on, which was the story of the dogs who had escaped, allegedly, this pack of evil, you know, dog-eating gang members who were going to sell them, I think, to the meat industry. I don't know what the whole scheme was. But there was this video went viral, and I said to Taylor,
they're eating the dogs.
This feels a little too good to be true. Like, I think that people are yearning to feel something and to feel part of something and to have some happy news. So they see this gang of dogs walking on the highway, and there was a corgi, and there was a German Shepherd. They were adorable dogs. They really were. And people came up with this whole narrative, and I said to Taylor, how do they know this? How did they find this out? Did they talk to the dogs? And you brought up, Taylor, that you could really do this with anything. You see a dog on the highway, take a picture of it, and you come up with this whole back. It's like theater. You come up with this whole backstory about their lives.
Yeah, you create your character. And you must have taken one of those classes, like give your character a backstory.
Oh, yeah.
Where did your character grow up? And, you know,
right.
What traumas did they experience? Yes.
Yes. Why did your character pick that sweater today? What were they feeling? Oh, yeah, yeah, the whole thing. And now the story comes out today that the whole thing was fake. And I'm just pointing this out because a lot of actual news publications ran with this and didn't seem to be very skeptical of it. And the Grace Curley Show was on the cutting edge. We were so skeptical. We saw this. We said it's far-fetched. We don't believe it. And it's all...
Ha, 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 ha.
It's all fallen apart. And I'm sorry for those people. And I'm happy for the dogs that they were never really in that kind of... It seemed like a movie or something. How would you ever know that this is what's happened? So I have a good eye for these things now. AI, fake news, all that stuff, it can't get past me. Now, another big story today, you could argue more important than the dogs, is DHS, this funding, partial government shutdown, looks like it could be coming to an end. And this is infuriating because this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it seems like no one really got anything from this. It was all politics. Everyone wanted a standoff. Nobody wanted to come to the table. And now both sides are trying to pretend that it's a big win for them, which I understand that's what you're going to do. But here's how this actually ended in case you missed what was happening last night.
On that bike in your shorts.
Donald Trump, with the help of Susan Collins, by the way, that's an update for the main listeners out there. Susan Collins, because she's the head of the Senate Appropriations Committee, she made the point that Donald Trump could very easily and legally have an executive order that would pay these TSA agents, get them paid, which is, you know, what's clogging up the works here and what the Democrats are using as their leverage is keeping all these people, you know, stopping them from getting their paychecks. They're going hungry. They can't pay their mortgages. Democrats are sitting there. Chuck Schumer, they're all twirling their mustaches. Ooh, now we're going to make some headway here. Now we're going to be able to stop ICE from deporting child rapists because the TSA agents aren't getting their paychecks. This is how gross these people are. And so Susan Collins brings this up, and Trump says, you know what? That's a great idea. And he takes to Truth Social, type. And he says, I'm going to do that. I'm going to sign an executive order, and I'm going to pay the TSA agents. And then wouldn't you know, once Democrats figured out that they weren't going to be able to use these poor TSA agents as hostages anymore, they shrugged their shoulders, and they gave up. And that's
people
really...
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
Why do you have so many cuts of that? What was... Like, that's a situation where I know these are just random drops, but what was he talking about in that moment?
I don't know. I don't remember.
That scares me. The amount of cuts we have of this man talking about arousal and everything
panting
else...
Panting away next to a Republican.
Stop. No more. You're getting me off... Getting me off track here. Chuck. But yeah, so if you only come to the table once you know that the TSA agents are no longer going to be deprived of their paychecks, then that says to me that this was your fault, that you were, that's exactly what you were doing this whole time. And it also, and I think it might have been Dana Perino, but somebody made this point that they were doing all of this for ICE, right? They were doing all of this to stop ICE. And there's two things that I've noticed. One is that the story of Renee Good and Alex Preddy, which was really galvanizing the left for a minute there, has fallen out of the news cycle. It's not that people still aren't upset about it. It's not that people still don't think those things should be investigated or looked at. But right now, the news cycle is focused on Sheridan Gorman, this young woman who she was not agitating anyone. She was not showing up. She was not a rioter or a protester or someone. She was just taking a walk and she was shot in the head. So that's where the stories are focused right now. The other stories that have come up since this whole let's shut down the government to screw over ICE or to give ICE a middle finger or to show the American people that we stand with them against the Nazis and against the Gestapo. You know what other stories have come up during this shutdown, that ICE is giving out water bottles, that ICE stopped a little kid who I think was either choking or, I'll give more details on this story later, but saved a one-year-old child who was in line at the airport.
Gestapo.
The Gestapo saving people now. This is weird. This is weird stuff. And there's been a lot of good PR. Jenny Tare was on Fox yesterday. She said this is great PR for ICE. And I don't think that was the intended plan. I don't think the Democrats... When they went about this and said, we're going to stop TSA agents from getting paid, we're going to create 6-hour lines at the airports, and because we are going to do that, we're going to show everyone how much we hate ICE. I don't think that in those calculations they thought, and ICE is going to come in and help everyone against these long lines, and they're going to make people smile. It's just a weird twist, you know?
Just like Walmart greeters with guns.
Yeah. Just no one saw it coming. I saw a video today of this guy walking next to all these ICE agents, and he's saying, you guys are fascists. Actually, I have the cut here. Let's play this. This is cut 8.
No thoughts. You guys are the foot soldiers of a fascist regime, right? Is that not what it is? Is that funny? Is that funny?
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
That is the way, by the way. That is the way to handle these kind of people because they're not serious. You see the no king. You know what drives people crazy? Is when you just laugh. Not when you fight with them. If you fight with them, if you see one of these grannies this weekend, you know, she's attending the Maura Healey Dropkick Murphys event, the No Kings. I don't know, Taylor, if you heard about that. Dropkick Murphys, they hate Trump. They're going to be at the No Kings rallies. This is going to be a raucous occasion. It's going to be really fun. And if you see them out there and you're on your drive and you're going to do something productive, you know, maybe you're hanging out with your family. These are crazy things for the liberals right now. Crazy, crazy things. All part of what's ruining America. It's families just going about their business, maybe taking their kid to a soccer game, something like that. And you see these lonely, sad, miserable people who are against kings. They're not really against kings. They're just against Donald Trump, who's not a king, by the way. He won the election. Someone's got to tell these people. But if you see them, give them a laugh. Give them a smile.
Hello, everybody. It's Bette Midler. No King's Day is this Saturday, March 28th. And it's more than a rally, and it's more than a march. It's your chance to find your people, protect our neighbors, and push back against this insanity.
Macaroni Midler, what are you doing here?
Rochelle, Rochelle!
Yeah, they're definitely not skewing younger with these rallies. They're not even trying at this point. They're bringing in the oldies but goodies.
Bruce Springsteen, Joan Baez, Bette
Jane
Midler.
Jane Fonda.
Good Lord.
This is like an old people convention.
Let's get the Rolling Stones out there while we're at it.
Yeah, it's really strange. But I wanted to play, before we can talk about the No Kings rally, rallies, because it's more than that. It's more than a rally. It's like, I hadn't heard of it until 2 days ago. Now they're making it seem like this is the biggest, like this has been in the works for a long time. Maybe it has.
Do you see them coming in? They're usually on the overpass before our exit into work. They put up signs. Do you ever see that?
No.
Oh, they like No King's Day or like Boycott Target Day. They still do it like every Monday and Friday.
Oh,
it's just two lonely old sad ladies up there wearing masks and waving at people.
I know.
It's so sad.
I know. You know how sad it is? I almost beep for them because I'm like, this is just pathetic. But I don't. I don't because I don't want to indulge it. You know, I don't want to feed into it, make them think they're doing the right thing. But it is. It is really sad. And that's how you should pity the fool. A wise man once said, I pity the fool. And that's how I feel. So I wanted to play a couple cuts here. But first, I want to play Eric Swalwell because he's really been on a tear lately. He has been embarrassing himself at every single opportunity. And he was asked about this shutdown. He was on CNN, very friendly place for Eric Swalwell to be. And he didn't make the case he thought he was making. Can I have cut three, please, Taylor?
But isn't ICE funded? It was funded in the Big Beautiful Bill.
So why don't we just fund TSA?
Well, I mean, in the reality is that in the offer that Senate Republicans brought to you a few days ago, there was a plan to put funding for enforcement at the border, plus, of course, Republicans want the SAVE Act in a reconciliation package and fund the rest of it.
That's right.
And yet Democrats said no.
Yeah, that is right.
Definitely a low IQ person.
Yeah. I don't think he even knows at this point what he's doing. I mean, he's running for governor in California, and he's just trying to say anything that sticks. Now, let's also get, I thought the person who explained this best, though, this whole shutdown debacle, is Jason Smith, representative from Missouri. Can I have cut one, please?
Nothing changed from what was passed before the shutdown. I mean, so ICE has always been funded through the Big Beautiful Bill. Customs and Border Patrol has always been funded from the Big Beautiful Bill. They got nothing. But you know what? They knew that this was leverage because anytime that they can hold the people there, it's leverage. They've said that time and time again, which is unacceptable.
Yeah, the proof of this, that they knew it was leverage, that they knew beyond them saying it, because that's not enough for people these days, like Hakeem Jeffries and everyone else saying they're hurting the American people, is the fact that right when they thought Trump was going to take that away from them, take the ability to inflict harm on these TSA agents, right when they thought that was going to be off the table, that's when they came and said, okay, we'll do whatever. We'll just do it. So it wasn't fun for them anymore. Once they knew the TSA, if I were a TSA agent, I'd be pissed. Because you're looking at this and you're like, oh, so now it lost all its allure once you guys found out we were going to get our paychecks. Thanks.
The Democrats at this point, they're no better than movie producers producing a terrible sequel. First shutdown, okay, shoot, first Schumer shutdown, kind of a success with like PR as far as like Democrats and that base really ate it up and, you know, really got behind it. And so Schumer thought, oh, you know what would be great? Another shutdown. It also doesn't have to have a point, but they're still going to eat up this slop. But they also are ruining the franchise as they're going along. They're ruining the Democrat brand by endangering TSA, by endangering the Department of Homeland Security to begin with.
Yeah, all these people they claim to care so much about, all these workers. Like, remember with Doge, it was like if a guy who gets paid to water the flowers of some place gets fired, they were all freaking out. No, every government employee is so important. And then now, when it comes to hundreds of people who are saying they couldn't pay their mortgage, they couldn't make, they had to skip meals so their kids could eat. All these compassionate people just kind of didn't care very much about that.
Big balls.
We'll be back. We got a lot more to talk about. We're going to talk about Iran on the other side, so stay with us.
More of the Grace Curley Show up next. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Weird story today out of Philadelphia. Did you see the Secret Service story, Taylor, in the New York Post?
Very typical, yes.
Yeah, why is it typical? Like, what's going on? It's a Secret Service agent shoots himself in leg while escorting Jill Biden at Philadelphia International Airport. A Secret Service agent guarding former First Lady Jill Biden shot and injured himself in the leg at the Philadelphia International Airport today, according to a report. The incident took place as the Secret Service agent was escorting former President Joe Biden's wife at the busy travel hub. A Secret Service agent.
So instead of anybody coming at you and the first thing you do is shoot to kill, you shoot him in the leg.
A medic was also on the scene before leaving. Well, yeah, we know. Dr. Jill was there.
Great doctor. Surgeon General worthy.
I mean, it sounds like he's okay.
I think so.
He was injured, but I mean, if he shot himself, it does seem like, yeah, if he shot himself in the leg, but these Secret Service agents, you know who I should check in with? Can you go on her Twitter, Susan Crabtree? She's the Real Clear Investigates. She's always on the pulse of what's happening with the Secret Service agents, and there's always a lot happening. There's always, remember a couple months ago, it was like the Secret Service agent's wife was trying to get herself on planes. She was taking planes with the administration. There's always some crazy things happening. That should be a show, Taylor. You just follow around these Secret Service agents and see what they're getting up to. Today's poll question is brought to you by Tux Trucks GMC. Tux Trucks GMC in Hudson, Mass. delivers a buying experience that is easy, personalized, and moves at your own pace. Truck buying the way you want it to be? Visit TuxTrucksGMC.com. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is who came out of this shutdown looking the best? Republicans, Democrats, or ICE agents?
ICE agents. They're handing out water. They're saving babies. They're, you know, they're shaking.
Not shooting themselves in the legs.
They're shaking hands with people at the airport. They're keeping the lines moving. This is a facelift for the agency. And hey, let me tell you right now, I didn't think they needed one. I know the hard work these men and women are doing. I don't fall for this, you know, spin cycle from the media, but a lot of people do. So to be there in person and to see them if you're waiting in line at the airport and you start to see things moving along a little bit better, I don't think they could ask for better PR.
48% say ICE agents, 42% say Republicans, 10% say Democrats look the best.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I saw Hakeem Jeffries today as he was walking by reporters. And this, the attempt here to take a victory lap for what was such a waste of time and such a headache for a lot of people. Like, I didn't have to travel during this, but there are people who probably missed very important things. I mean, beyond just missing a flight to go on vacation, people travel for weddings, work meetings, funerals, like all sorts of things. You inconvenienced a lot of people, and to have nothing to show for it is, it's a bold strategy, Cotton.
So I'm seeing Jill Biden was not present at the time of the shooting. Her movements were not impacted by the incident.
Alrighty. Strange stuff. I'll check in on Susan Crabtree during the break and see what she has to say. The Senate passed the bill to end the 42-day DHS shutdown. Do you feel like either side got anything from this? We all got a headache. We'll be right back.
The Grace Curley Show is on the air.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Trump called into the Five yesterday, and they covered. It really ran the gamut. They covered everything. JFK Jr., Carolyn Bessette, because of this new show on FX, Love Story. I have been watching it. I haven't watched the last episode yet, but you know, it's not spoilers because we obviously know what happens. but I've been watching it and it's pretty good. And he was asked about it and he dropped this little nugget on us. This is cut 12.
I actually knew him and liked him and he liked me, believe it or not. He actually put me on the cover of his magazine, George. And I got to be friendly with him and he would go down to Mar-a-Lago with me and with Carolyn. It was a tragic thing. Look, he was going to sell that magazine, which was, you know, a little bit of an anchor. It didn't work out too well. But it was okay, but it was fine. Today, magazines are not doing too well. But in those days, they'd be all right. It was all right, but it wasn't great and wasn't good for him. You know, his mother didn't want – he wanted to be a Broadway actor more than any other thing. He wanted to be a Broadway – I knew him very well, actually. He liked me. Can you believe it? He liked me.
Trump is like – at a point now where he's interrupting himself with his own thoughts. He has so many thoughts going at the same time that he wants to add details to every single sentence and little, you know, he always calls it like he weaves his stories, Taylor, but there's so many off ramps now to every story. He wants to make it clear that JFK Jr. did like him. From everything I could read about it this morning, that is true. Fact check true. They did hang out. He did go to Mar-a-Lago. Trump was on the cover of George. But I think that what was maybe even a funnier moment was when he was asked about the rumors that the Ayatollah, the new Ayatollah, the Nepo Ayatollah, the impotent cardboard cutout, maybe in a coma Ayatollah. You got to keep these guys separate. He was asked about the rumors that the Ayatollah is gay. And this is what he said. Cut 11.
Have we, and did the CIA tell you that Ayatollah Jr.'s gay?
Well, they did say that, but I don't know if it was only them. I think a lot of people are saying that, which puts them off to a bad start in that particular country. You know, I sort of have to smile to myself when I say I see people trying to defend the Palestinian regime for women, women for Palestine. But they kill women if you don't wear a certain group of if you don't wear certain cloth all over your face, you have no chance of living. And, you know, when I look at gays for Palestine, but they kill gays. They kill them instantly. They throw them off buildings. And I'm saying, who are the gays for Palestine? And they have a significant amount of gays for Palestine. Now, I think when, you know, I did very well with the gay vote, okay? I even had, I even played the gay national anthem as my walk-off, okay, for my campaign. And I think it probably helped me, but I did great with no Republicans ever gotten the gay vote like I did. And I'm very proud of it. I think it's great. Perhaps it's because I'm from New York City. I don't know. But the gay national anthem was my walk-off, and I think it probably had. But think of it. Gays for Palestine, but they kill gays in Palestine. So when they hear that, I think probably we can talk them out of it. It shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah, he the gays for Palestine thing, I think that's what got Goldman's wife in trouble, is that after October 7th, she liked a post that said gays for Palestine is like chickens for KFC. In other words, you know, you can be in support of Palestine, but you're not going to live long there if you're gay. And there was a few things answered here. But on the topic of Iran, there's a lot brewing. And then we talked a little bit yesterday about these reports that the administration is considering sending 10,000 combat troops to Iran and maybe to some of those islands like Karg Island to bring this whole thing to an end. They're calling it a final blow. And these reports have just been added to over the last few hours. And it seems like this is the latest and maybe the last diplomatic attempt by Trump to come to a deal with this regime, who's ever leading it, whether it's the Ayatollah or, you know, one of the, as he pointed out, not a lot of people want to be in charge at this point. But there's talk that there could be 10,000 combat troops headed into the Middle East for this conflict if there isn't a deal reached very soon. Now, you wonder, Taylor, how much of this is just to send out warning signs to this regime that, hey, we mean business, and how much of it maybe is already planned, and no matter what the regime says, they're not going to believe them. Because that's part of, and I talked about this earlier in the week with Midnight Hammer, where sometimes Trump pretends he's very open to negotiations or pretends he's very open to diplomacy, and in reality, his mind is already made up, so he can set a deadline. Hey, you guys have 5 days. We won't touch these facilities for 5 days. Come to the table, talk to us. And there's a world in which it doesn't matter what happens. He's already made up his mind about the 10,000 troops. We will obviously be waiting and seeing how this plays out, but very serious stuff. Now, also earlier today, VP Vance had, and I mentioned this earlier this week, that they've made him the head of the anti-fraud task force. So he put on a presser today. He had Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen there, Secretary RFK Jr., Secretary Scott Bessent, Stephen Miller, Brooke Rollins, AAG McDonald, and Nick Shirley was also invited to the first meeting, trying to bring an end to this fraud that has really taken over in several different states, probably every state to a degree, but states like Minnesota, states like Massachusetts, we have a big problem with fraud.
Don't open up!
Yeah, it's just... In California, it's funny how every state has like their own racket. Minnesota was the daycares that got a lot of attention, the leering centers. The quality leering centers that didn't exist.
California is hospice.
Yes, hospice. Everyone has, you know, a different trade.
It's like there was a meeting.
Yeah.
All right, you guys take hospice. We'll take learning centers, childcare. Massachusetts, you take Medicare, Medicaid, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Maine too. Throw Maine in there with the Medicaid.
All New England, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, hospice, it's crafty, this fraud. Like, you wouldn't think. I'm trying to think of, when I was in school, there was always this lemonade store, like a lemonade stand place by my school, and I always thought, that's a front. That's got to be a front for something. But I'm thinking too small. I'm thinking like laundromats, you know? You got to think big for these operations. You got to think who's taking in the most money and, you know, what kind of these, which ones of these scams or systems or, you know, different programs is going to give us the most cover. And hospice, I guess, makes sense. Now, in California, there's talk that Gavin Newsom, and if you just watch the guy for even a minute, you know this. If you watch him move his hands around, I watch his clips now, Taylor, I mute them and I just watch his body because this man, he's moving like a samurai. He's just constantly, it's like he's an airbender, just moving around and shimmying, and he's constantly talking about how he's not running for president, but he is, but he's talking about Trump and all these other things.
The hell is that?
But Trump was asked about Gavin Newsom at his cabinet meeting yesterday, and this is what he had to say, cut 9.
And by the way, Gavin Newsom, who is one of the candidates, I believe he took himself out of the running when he says he suffers from mental disability. And a reporter said it was terrible that I talked that way about somebody with mental disability. I said, I have no problem with it, but I don't want a person with mental disability to be my president. I mean, you don't want to have a person with mental disability being your president. And Gavin Newsom said that he can't read a speech. He can't do almost anything. And then he said he's as dumb as all the people in the room. And he got accused of being a racist, which was an amazing thing. I thought it was the worst interview I've ever seen anybody give. He's actually a very stupid person. So I believe he's out of the running. I think that that statement, that interview, he admitted that he's a stupid person. I don't want a stupid person being president.
I would agree with him on that. I do not want a stupid person being president.
Trying to pronounce acetaminophen.
Yeah, and it's not, I know that Gavin Newsom is dyslexic, and now he's talking about that all the time. He's actually doing the whole like Biden stutter thing. He's trying to make himself a victim, and you know, Trump's being mean to him. But it's not the dyslexia. It's that he gets on stages now and talks about, I'm dumb just like you. And I'm like, whoa, hold on a second. Let's take it easy on the accusations of being a moron here. It's okay if you want to own that, but don't throw it out at the rest of us. That's number one. But when I think of Gavin Newsom running for president, and I know that Trump's saying that interview was really bad, I don't think one interview now takes anyone out. I just don't think that's how the media landscape operates. Everyone gets like 16,000 chances. You have to really, really screw up stuff. You have to do like AOC when she was at the Munich Security Conference. It has to be really a big moment. But what I will say is,
don't even play.
Baby girl, please. What I will say is this. I think it is amazing that Gavin Newsom thinks he has a chance of being president, and maybe he does, given that what he's going to point to the voters. Like, some of these people have to point to, hey, I was part of the Biden administration. And that's hard. Like, you really have to distance yourself from that. You have to really find a way to wiggle out of the fact that you were part of this disaster for 4 years that brought Democrats Donald Trump for another 4 years. As Stephen A. Smith said, Trump has all these things going against him, and the voters in America still look at him as more normal than whatever they're seeing on the left. And that is absolutely true. But with Gavin Newsom, forget having to point to the Biden administration. He has to point to the state of California. He has to point to the state of California and say, this is why I should be president. How on earth is he going to make that one? How is he going to square that circle or circle that square? How are you going to say, listen, this is the state I'm coming from. Here are the numbers. Here are all the people leaving. Here are all the drugs. Here's all the poverty. Here's all the homeless issues. Here's all the illegal immigration. And you want to be my latex salesman? Like, you want to be my president? That could be a good question, Taylor. Who has a better chance for the Democrats at overcoming their reputation? Someone who's the governor of California or someone who worked in the Biden administration? I think that working in the Biden administration, you could at least maybe paint it as like, which a lot of people are doing, I didn't really have any conversations with Biden. I wasn't really privy to what was going on. With Gavin Newsom, it's like, you've been the governor of California for quite some time, and you have nothing to show for it. Now, happening in, we're just going through governors now, but in Illinois, we've got Governor Pritzker. And he has been avoiding the press. He made one comment about Sherrod Gorman where he acknowledged that she was murdered and then tried to blame it on Donald Trump. But between Pritzker and the mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, the family of Sherrod Gorman has now come out with another statement addressing just the horrific way this has been handled by the politicians that represent them. We will talk about that when we come back. Pretty amazing stuff. In fact, Brandon Johnson saying they're going to double down. So there's no remorse. You know, we talked to an angel father this week, and I was amazed at the fact that he confronts these Democrats and they don't have any remorse, or they don't feel sorry for all the things that have led to these horrific outcomes. Well, now Sherrod Gorman's family has to deal with this, and the mayor of Chicago says he wants to double down on what they've been doing. And what have they been doing? Letting illegal aliens avoid ICE by making their cities or states sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, and the results have been disastrous. We'll talk about this when we come back. There's so much to get to today, so stay with us.
The Grace Curley Show will return. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Trump speaking now from the White House to farmers, talking about how he saved them from the estate tax. And it seems as though he will be going to Palm Beach this weekend. So this might be the last event today at the White House. I also wanted to play, I mentioned this before the break here, that Sherrod Gorman's family, her devastated family after she was murdered outside of Loyola, they have now issued a statement in regards to Brandon Johnson's latest comments. I wanted to play the mayor of Chicago. This is Brandon Johnson, Cut 7.
As I've said before, my condolences to the family of Sheridan. This is a terrible tragedy. And what I've said from the very beginning, I'm going to continue to use every single tool that's available to me to protect the residents of the city of Chicago. And this tragedy is not going to deter us from our work. In fact, it's going to challenge us all to double down on our efforts to ensure that we are protecting every single individual across neighborhoods.
But how are you protecting every single individual across neighborhoods by allowing illegal aliens to remain in your city? And it's against not only what Americans all over have voted for, But Chicago has really become a hotbed of this issue. And I remember leading up to the November election, I would constantly have sound of women specifically in Chicago speaking out against Brandon Johnson, calling him out for such a dereliction of duty. And they had all these schools and gyms, you know, converted into migrant flop houses, as Howie always calls them, and doing such a disservice to the people in Chicago who needed that help or needed their children to have a place to go after school. And he's consistently put illegal aliens over American citizens. And now he wants to say he's going to double down on this. Well, that's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. How many Americans are going to be dead once you double down on this? Once you double down on this chaos. And you know what else he did? He unveiled that snowplow with ice on it, like abolish ICE. It had the big sign on it. Again, it's just gimmicky. It's PR stunts. It's attempts to go viral on TikTok. It's attempts to appease the worst part of their base. And in the meantime, Sheridan Gorman is dead. And her family actually put this statement out. I want to read it for you here. They said, "We acknowledge Mayor Johnson." And listen to this, Taylor. Listen how sharp this is. Because they're not pulling any punches, nor should they. "We acknowledge Mayor Johnson's statement 5 days after our daughter Sheridan's murder and his condolences to our family, as well as his recognition of the work of the Chicago Police Department. But what happened to Sheridan cannot be reduced to a senseless tragedy, nor can it be explained in general terms about public safety. Sheridan was our daughter. She was 18 years old. She was doing something entirely normal, walking near her campus with her friends. She should be here. This was not random. It was not inevitable. And it cannot be treated as though it were. We appreciate the efforts of law enforcement in making an arrest, but safety is not defined by how quickly a case is solved after the fact. It is defined by whether a young woman like Sheridan is protected in the first place. Our daughter was not in the wrong place at the wrong time." Again, referencing the alderman who said that earlier this week. "The system failed her. Calling this senseless is not enough. There must be a clear and honest accounting of what went wrong. We are not interested in rhetoric. We are asking for accountability." I wonder if they're interested in that video of Brandon Johnson unveiling that giant snowplow. Look how clever I am. It's just disgusting. It really is. And that's all going on. And you've got Ed Markey, our senator from Massachusetts, saying that he doesn't think ICE is capable of existing anymore. So let me work through that. You want to abolish ICE. You have a representative from Illinois of all places. She chooses right now to say she wants to, if Democrats regain power, she wants to abolish ICE. I think she wants to melt ICE is the word that she used. And so take note of this, people, because they are claiming that we want reform and we want body cams and we want warrants. They want to abolish ICE because they do not want the men and women of ICE to deport the worst of the worst or anyone here illegally. That's the game. Know it. Don't fall for it. We'll be right back.
We will melt ICE.